Welcome to the East Coast Offense Podcast. This is Chris Liss, and I'm talking to Dalton Del Don, Yahoo Sports, as usual. We're going to handicap these games, and it doesn't matter how we do. We're still going to come back the next week and handicap them. We can't be fired, right? This is a two-man operation. There's really no authority here, right? I mean, no matter how bad we do, we just keep coming back another week.
Apparently, because it's has been pretty bad. This is our worst week yet for the Super Contest. 1-4.
No, I thought we were 2-3.
I'm pretty sure 1-4.
Okay, here's who I know. Okay, so I know we lost with the Ravens. That was my pick, and the Seahawks. Why would you like the Seahawks? That was the dumbest pick ever.
That yeah, no, the Ravens were the lock of the year, you said. They were 6 favorites, well, and they lost outright, but okay.
Well, they shouldn't have lost outright. That was total garbage, but they still weren't covering, even if that face mask didn't happen. So I don't, you know, I'm not going to argue about that. But okay, so we lost to the Ravens, but Seattle was just outright stupid. And then we both liked Tennessee, so that's 0-3. But I thought we won with the Giants, right?
No, we had the Raiders and Washington.
Dude, why didn't we have the Giants?
We went over the picks. Like, I mean, I don't, you're like really truly losing it these days. I don't know what's going on. The Giants weren't even on. Our next closest one we discussed was Green Bay even.
Now, I was on the Giants, man. I was on them.
Well, all right. Well, I didn't like go behind your back and make a switch or something. Like, I mean, we went over these picks before. God,
you're the worst, man. You're really the worst.
You liked the Raiders as well.
I liked the Raiders a little bit. I liked them at 2.5, but the line was 3, wasn't it, on the Super Contest?
Yeah, it was 3.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were, like, worthless at 3. So let me ask you this. Really went 1-4. That's horrible. I thought we were 2-3. I mean, to say we could have at least said, you know, the entire year we never went worse than 2-3. That would have been something. But you screwed it up.
Yeah, well, as usual, you blame me, but your picks have been atrocious.
How'd you do last week overall on your staff picks?
I haven't had the courage to look yet. I've just been still reeling from this. I had in a survivor pool, I had a lot of people lose to the Packers, and I had the Bengals last night. So I'm just very frustrated. There would have only been 2 people left, $1,400 pot, and I'm sorry, 2 other people. And I don't even like the Bengals, but I'd already used the Packers, and that was clearly the way to go. And that was just a disastrous game to watch at home, scoring 6 points. I mean, in prime time, so I had to watch, and I sat through that whole 3 hours. I have Jeremy Hill on multiple fantasy teams. NFFC, I had like DeAndre Hopkins and Jeremy Hill. I guess Hopkins was okay,
but touchdown.
Just still a miserable, miserable experience. Frustrating.
That's pretty bad. You know, I'm so out of all my survivor pools that I don't even care. But I did write the column, and my top 5 of my top 6 choices lost, and the one that won was the Patriots, and they totally should have lost. That was bad.
It was another carnage week for sure.
This was the worst week ever. I mean, week 2 was really bad, but there was there was one double-digit favorite in week 2. That was the Saints. There were 2 double-digit favorites here who both lost.
Right.
And really, like, Pittsburgh is kind of a fraud because you didn't know Ben was playing. So with Landry Jones, that was a way shakier. I mean, that was just dumb luck that he got hurt. I mean, I don't know even that they win that game without Roethlisberger. I know he's not worth 21 points, but the whole game goes differently. It's just a different game. And then other than that, it was the Panthers who I thought they were vulnerable to losing on the road. It was just sort of a letdown game, but it wasn't. They just did their usual thing, and the Titans suck, so they won easily.
Yeah, no, it's just shameful how we've performed. I don't know. I guess what are we looking for at this point? Moral victories?
No, we're looking at perfect undefeated the rest of the way. I think we steal money for sure.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I believe that statement's true. If we go perfect from here on out, we probably would finish in the money.
Until we're mathematically eliminated, we got to take this seriously. It's $1,500, man, you know? It's not. If this were like $100, I'd probably just, you know, I'd maybe miss a week, you know, forget, you know, we got to take this seriously. It's not over yet. We are now 3 games under 500, I take it, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So
yeah.
Week 10. So we got 7 more weeks, man. We'd have to go on a sick run. We wouldn't have to go undefeated, but we'd have to go, there's 7 times 5 is 35. We'd have to go like 33-2 or something like that. And even right, well, then, even then, I don't know if that would do it. Yeah, I probably would. That would do it. 33.
Yeah, we're not talking about winning it. We're just saying in the money.
Yeah, I just want to get – I'm not greedy. Like, if we got, like, 12 grand, I'd be fine with that.
Says the team that's under 500 when they pick their five favorite games. So.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. If we got – if we just had our 10 worst weeks and these were them, but they just weren't in all – you know, it just doesn't matter what order they were. And if they were spread out over the 17 weeks, you wouldn't even think anything of it.
That's true. So let's write this shit.
The timeline is off. You know, we're just going to adjust the timeline and just it'll make a lot more sense. All right, let's do this, man. I don't really feel that strong. Last week, I really liked a lot of the teams too. Did you know that 12 out of 14 underdogs covered last week and 11 won outright?
Yes, I did know that 11 underdogs won outright. I did know that. That's got to be, I mean, one of the highest ever. That's crazy.
Well, no, I'm sure all of them have won 1 week. You know, it's like going 16-0 against the spread or 14-0 against the spread. It's 50-50. All right, so let's go to this.
You think that all? I guess it probably has happened. Yeah,
2 to the 16th, 2 to the 10th is 1,024. 2 to the 11th is 2,000, roughly 248. 2 to the 12th is 4,000.
Well, no. They're not 50-50 winning outright.
No, I'm not talking winning outright. I'm talking about covering.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm saying winning 11 of.
I'm saying it's like, you know, I don't know, 16 or 32,000. It's like 1 in 32,000.
Sure. No.
Actually, that's not like 32,000. It's not like there's been 32,000 weeks, right? Because there's only 17 weeks a year, so you're talking about 2,000 years, right?
No, there's no question that has happened against the spread.
It might not.
I'm asking if you think it's happened outright.
No, I don't. It's definitely not happened outright. It's 100% not happened outright.
Okay.
And I will go so far as to say it will never, ever, ever happen outright. It will not happen in the lifetime until the sun gets extinguished and the planet is gone. And even if we colonize other planets and other solar systems, I still don't think it'll happen.
The supervolcano.
The supervolcano, whatever.
Which just happens to be our team name in the super contest.
I know. We didn't realize that the supervolcano was turned on itself.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. 11 of 14 winning outright dogs had to be up there.
Oh, no, it has to be up there, right. Winning outright, absolutely. That could be the highest of all time.
Yes.
But I'm saying that actually, I thought that all 14 dogs covered. But as I'm saying, it's four, even, you know, 2 to the 14th is 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, it's 8,000, 1 in 8,000, right? So every 8,000 weeks, you'd expect all the dogs or all the favorites to cover. But 8,000 weeks, there's only 16 weeks in a season, 17 weeks in a season, right?
Right.
So you're really talking about, like, I don't know, 400 years, you know, it'd be like 400 seasons before that happens. It hasn't been 400 football seasons. Did you know that? There's not been 400 football seasons.
Yeah, it just feels like it this year.
This one seems like it's 400 years long, I know. All right, I'm actually having a good fantasy year. I'm just having a bad, terrible handicapping and survivor year. There's always something that goes wrong. That's the problem with being too involved in too many things. You can't. It's just never that everything goes right. The more things you take on, the more chances something's going to go horribly wrong.
And obviously you remember the pain hurts worse than the good feels. You know, it's always just – you remember the bad beats far more than any wins, or at least I do.
Yeah. I mean, there's always some, like, dickbag who's talking shit, you know, about my picks or something. There's always, like, something. You know, I can never just escape and be like, you see, I won. I won in the whole thing forever. I got this, you know. There's always somebody who's going to be like, you suck. And you really can't say anything because you do, you know, it's some aspect of what you're doing. It's just, I don't know what to do, man. I think like 1 year when I retire, I'm just going to like have two fantasy football teams, one survivor contest and like a pick 'em pool. And if I could just do well in all of those and never think twice.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
We're stuck with too much. I'm sure you're in too many leagues as I am. And let's turn this around this week though.
Let me just say one last thing. I told you this. In baseball, I had the sickest season of my life, but I finished sixth in labor. And dumbass Derek Carty finished fifth. And the only league of all the leagues that I bet him on was that one, my worst one. I had to send that dude money. And this is the year after having to send him $90 because I bet on Jurickson Profar, who didn't even get a single at bat. And he still took the money.
Well, can you blame him? You would have.
I might. I might have given him like a discount. I don't know. I might have. I might have. It's possible. All right, let's go over these stupid ass games.
Well, you need to treat these spreads like you did your baseball season, and just I don't know what did you say you did differently? You did the least amount of studying and thought in the process beforehand.
I'm doing almost no studying for this, except this podcast may be the thing that's killing me. But I'm seriously like you're like a curse. Anyway, In baseball season, what I did was I just didn't really do the deep research that I had been doing. And I just really, I mean, my strategy is really just not to give a fuck what anyone was saying and just to take guys I just thought would be good. It was just like, these are the guys I think will be good. And I just had like a lot of Manny Machado and a lot of, I picked up Correa kind of early, but I just had a lot of guys that broke out because I just thought they would be good. And Chris Davis, I had a lot of, and Prince Fielder, just guys who out-earned that I just liked, and they were just good. And maybe it was just lucky, but I won so many different leagues, and I didn't have the same rosters. Like, they're all different rosters with different players. And it was just like, why am I even reading anything? Why am I listening to any of these guys? Nobody knows anything, you know? And I'm trying to do that in football, but it's not working.
All right, well, let's make it work this week.
All right, let's see if we can do it. All right, we got this piece of shit game. All right, so I don't know if this is a good method because it's not working for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've been picking the games. I've been picking the lines before I look at the real line. But this week I didn't make any picks yet. I just picked the line. So I thought it would be Titans plus four at Jaguars, and it's only three. So I just think I would take the Jaguars.
My first instinct was Jacksonville, but then the more I thought about it, it's just that I have no idea what could – I mean, anything could happen in this game, these division teams. I mean, Titans are better with their new coach and Mariota, and Jacksonville, I mean, they're coming off a win. I don't know. I'm just going to take the points.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is just like last week with the Jets, right? It was like, oh, the Jets, only 2.5. The Jets are probably at least as good, if not better, and they're home, and they just lost. But they had four turnovers, including a kick return. This is like the kind of year I was having. Like, I have the Jets. It's like 3-0. It's 3-3. Jets, they kick off after the field goal. Devin Smith, whoever it was Devin Smith. He's returning the kick. Not only does he fumble the kickoff, but it's returned for a touchdown on the kickoff. Like, what is that? Well, I was watching. I was like, yeah, of course that happened. And then they turned it over four times. So I think the Jets were the right side in that game. It just looked like the Bills were the right side. I'm going to go with the Jags. Not that this is related, but I'm not going to be a coward like you and take the points. I'm taking the Jags.
Yeah, fair enough. We're not touching that one, though.
Yeah, no way. Okay, Rams. I thought it would be plus 2.5 at the Ravens, but it's actually, what, one? Oh, wait, that's not in order. That's the order that I looked at.
Yeah, you're really jumping around there. Okay, it's okay. Washington, Carolina.
I don't want to – it's too much for y'all. Let's go in order that this Vegas site has. Okay, it's the Redskins plus 7 at the Panthers, and that's exactly what I thought it would be.
Yeah, this spread makes sense. I've been fading Carolina for a while.
How's
and of
that
course,
working?
Once I jump on them, then that's the time it will be close. But I don't know. Washington coming off such a dominant performance. They've really been a different team, Kirk Cousins, this year on the road versus at home. So I'm just going to buy into Carolina remaining to be good. And I know they're a team that doesn't usually, you know, blow others out, but their defense is so strong. Their rushing attack and all that. So I'm going to reluctantly lay the points.
Yeah, I think I was going to take Washington. They're kind of tough, you know. They got crushed by New England, but even so, like in that game, it wasn't. They dropped like 20 passes, and they weren't getting blown off the ball or anything. It just kind of got away from them, but they didn't look soft. And I think they can probably hang. Is DeSean Jackson? What happened to him? I thought he got hurt because I know I had him in some DFS, and then he kind of left the game.
I think he's fine.
Yeah, I think. With everybody healthy, I don't know. I'm inclined to take Washington. I'm not strong on this one at all. By the way, it just occurred to me. Remember we had that whole political discussion last week?
Yes.
You know what? Nobody said a goddamn word. I mean, some people were like, oh, that was interesting. But nobody like got pissed. Nobody – I didn't get anybody being like, you socialist douchebag, or, you know, any blowback from anybody. Like, I don't like hearing about that, or nobody.
Yeah, the
cared.
Only thing I saw was compliments, surprisingly, shockingly.
Nobody cared. I mean, it's probably because we have so few listeners that it's the chance, you know, most people are just indifferent. The few people we have are indifferent. But I think it's because this DFS thing is such a big deal. And then obviously something way worse, you know, the terrorist attack happens. So nobody cares about like petty politics stuff right at this moment. Although, and we can talk about that later. But all right, let's move on. I'm sort of just, you know, Washington, Carolina. I guess I'll take Washington, but just like Jacksonville, I don't feel really strong about it. But I'm definitely not going to listen to you since you're
very indifferent. I'm on both those games.
Okay. All right. So the next one is the Raiders are laying 2 at Detroit. And I actually picked that as Raiders laying 2 at Detroit, believe it or not. That's kind of a good call, right? I mean, I may not be getting the picks right, but I'm getting the lines right.
Yeah, that's obviously a kind of a random line.
That's what I mean.
Choose, too. And projects as a really high scoring game. I've been the Colts and the Raiders are the two teams that I just see me. I said the Panthers, but really, whatever I fade the Raiders, they win. And then when I back them last week in the Super Contest, you know, they get blown out at home. But I'm going to go back to that. Well, Detroit, yeah, big upset win in Lambeau, first time since 1991 or whatever. But they didn't really seemingly play that well. I thought it was just more so whatever's wrong with Green Bay's offense than anything else. So I think Derek Carr is going to light them up. And you look at the fantasy starters, man, yeah, Derek Carr is probably a top five starter this week, and both their receivers are probably top 12. I think they're going to put up a lot of points, and I'm going to lay the two.
Yeah, I think I was going to take the Raiders. I don't know. I'm sort of on the fence here. I do think that Green Bay is a mess, and it's not Detroit that played so great. But I think the corner, was it Darius Slay, actually played pretty well in the last few weeks. And so Cooper may not have a great matchup. And Latavius Murray just hasn't really gotten going. Like, you think, like, on a good team, that guy would be a monster.
Yeah, well, I mean, no team in the NFL in recent history has had a worse rushing attack than this Detroit team, though.
Yeah, no, Detroit's rushing is terrible. But I'm saying Oakland, I'm just weird how Murray has just not been very good.
Yeah, he seems like one of those guys who's been unlucky in the touchdown department. But, no, you're right. If you know, he looked like a beast even on a bad team when he briefly played, like last year. And now all of a sudden all the parts around him have really, really improved, and yet he hasn't really, you know, emerged as some star.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't commit to this game. I don't know. My gut says Detroit, but they're such garbage, you know. But Oakland on the road, I don't love that much. I don't know. I'm just going to pass for now. I'm going to have to write about it in the column tomorrow. But we're definitely not using it, so it doesn't matter.
No Alden Smith for whatever that means.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that much to me. Okay.
I mean, you saw he suspended a year, right?
Yeah, he got suspended.
Okay.
I mean, of course. I mean, it's so funny that, like, Greg Hardy and Alden Smith are in the league and Josh Gordon is, like, suspended for, like, drinking four beers. It's, like, so – it's just so sad. It's so, like, pathetic, that whole situation. It's amazing. All right. Let's go on to Dallas. And I got this one right, too. I had it right, and then I switched it, and I got it wrong. But it was a pick'em. Dallas is pick'em at Miami. I think I know who I like, but go ahead. You go first.
These are all right, seemingly tight lines, in my opinion. They're nothing that I just don't really see value-wise. But not that when I see that, do I take advantage of it or correct in my assessment of it. But I am I'm going to be the sucker to take the road team here. I think Tony Romo, Cowboys, I mean, I'm not going to say something like they're due for a win, but Romo is such a difference. He is easily one of the best players in the NFL. They have Dez Bryant back. So I'm just going to take Dallas, and I expect it to be a very close game.
Yeah, I think I had Dallas too. I thought it was a pick, and I said, no, it's going to be Dallas -1.5. They're just... Remember, Dallas was 12-4 last year.
Yes,
And, like, their D, well, they lost Sean Lee, so they may not be quite as good. But their D is, like, just average to a little below average. They're not terrible. But that offense...
surprisingly really good against the pass, but definitely beatable against the run. I could see Lamar Miller having a big game.
Yeah, although Miller's been really doing it through the air mostly.
Yeah,
that
true.
Ajayi guy who you got in League of Leagues, who's now – I was bitching about it. I was like, you should have got Devontae Parker. What are you doing? And now that guy might end up being a good keeper for next year.
Yeah, there's no way. I hate to break it to you, but the roster is way too small to
– Oh, right. You never held on to him, right, of course.
Yeah, I didn't – I got him for like a dollar too, so there was no like
– a big waste, right?
Yeah, but you're absolutely – in hindsight, I wish I could have done anything to – he looks like – yeah, if Miller were to go down, it'd be like – he looks like he could be a
top
stud.
Top 10 so, back, yeah, if Miller went down. Top 10 doesn't mean anything. If there's like top 3, and then there's like 4 through 15 are all the same.
Right. By the way, we won last week and are now in. You gave me a hard time, but we're in the playoff picture. We are in the playoffs if the season ended now.
Stay that way. You know, I saw Jonah's right. I just looked today and I saw Jonah's behind us. And, you know, Cousin Sal, I mean, I hope his basketball team sucks because we can't lose to that dude.
It's pretty. I actually would be appreciated if he won. I mean, that would be a funny guy to win. But, you know, in the last second, I asked for your opinion, too. So I can't, you know, you always like to blame me, and that's fine. I'll take it. But.
I know.
Switched out Matt Jones for Thomas Rawls.
Well, no. First we switched out Ronnie Hillman for Matt Jones, which I said yes.
Right.
And then you decided to push it. Right?
We had it settled. You know, Lynch looked like he was out, you know. I mean.
But that was actually dumb because we knew we had Jones going against the Saints and he was going to get some work. And we just had no idea about Lynch. We had no idea of Rawls Lynch.
Right. Well, obviously, dumb in hindsight, but we withstood that and still got the victory, and that team's pretty good. Speaking of decent keeper guys, I mean, Matt Jones, I mean, he could be, you know, next year, he could be very valuable.
What about Rawls, too? I mean, yeah. Lynch, how long is he going to keep going for?
Right, exactly.
All right. Yeah, it's our receivers that are weak, ironically.
Now, Calvin, Julio Jones, and T.Y. Hilton?
I mean, T.Y. is pretty much toast without Luck. I mean, he's going to be – what is he going to do with Matt Hasselbeck? And then you got – Calvin, who's just washed up on a terrible team. And then Julio, if you take away like his first three games where he looked like Jerry Rice at his peak, he's been fine, but it's not like he's anything special.
No, you're right. Gurley and Blunt are probably our running back. It's funny. That's the position we punted at the draft table is quietly our strength. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you think about it, like Julio Jones, if you take out the first 3 weeks, he's like Brandon Marshall, maybe, you know, like he's good, but he's not really, I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know what happened to Matt Ryan.
No, I don't either. Why that? And speaking of which, so we're both taking Dallas, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel strongly about it though.
Me neither.
Miami kind of, they've sucked at home for a couple of years. I don't know why they don't have a better home field advantage, and Dallas doesn't have a home field advantage either. So sort of like Dallas, Miami, like you almost want to take the road team because the home road thing that's priced in is worthless.
Right. Yeah. That's a good call.
All right, we'll take Dallas. Maybe we'll use them because it's not like we're going to find five, you know, obvious locks here. All right, so Indy plus +6 at Atlanta. This is just such an interesting game because Atlanta's been so horrible. Their last game that we saw them play before the bye, they basically, the coach just gifted away a loss against the worst team in the NFL. And then before that, they lost at home to Tampa. And then before that, they barely beat Tennessee with Wizenpunt as the coach. And before that, they were, you know, they won in overtime against Washington. So this team is terrible. And then Indy was mediocre with Andrew Luck. And of course, they're undefeated with Hasselbeck. But I mean, come on, let's be real. Hasselbeck, he's like 40 years old.
Yeah, but he looked okay, actually. And then one way of looking at it is he might be safer and commit less turnovers than Luck was doing. But I'm not laying 6 points by this Atlanta team. I'm sorry. I'm just whatever. Our record with the Colts this year has been abysmal, and I'm sure I'll lose again. But and this line has moved, apparently opened at 4 all the way up till 6. So no thanks laying this Atlanta team. Matt Ryan hasn't thrown for more than multiple touchdowns this season yet, and he has Julio Jones. So I'm taking the points.
Well, here's the other thing is that Atlanta is so top-heavy, and Vontae Davis is going to check Julio Jones. So if he slows him down, there's nothing else. And Devonta Freeman's a great fantasy back, but he's not someone who scares you when you're, like, thinking about covering the spread. It's like, uh-oh, well, Devonta Freeman will do – what is he going to do?
Tammy will probably have, like, 10 catches for 90 yards or something.
Yeah, but Indy sucks. I mean, without Luck, they're nothing. They can't run. They're not going to get the ball down the field with Hasselbeck. They probably won't get it to Moncrief enough. They're going to start throwing to Andre Johnson because Hasselbeck, his last memory of playing in a real competitive game, Andre Johnson was a great receiver at that point.
And well, he's already connected with him for 2 touchdowns this year.
I know. Well, it was in that terrible Thursday night game. I don't know. I got to think about this. I can't. I'm inclined to go Atlanta, but I hear you, man. They're terrible. All right, St. Louis plus +2 at Baltimore. Yeah, I predicted this line would be – what did I predict? I thought it would be 4.5. I didn't think it would be 6. I guess it started at 4, so I wasn't too far off. And then,
yeah, that's close. And you're within 1.5, and that's not even a key number either.
Yeah, that's sort of a – okay. So St. Louis at Baltimore I thought would be 2.5, and the real line is 2. And I've been going with Baltimore every week, and they don't cover it ever. They never cover. I mean, I swear, my record, if I just not ever taken the Ravens – I'd be doing a lot better. I would still be doing badly, but I'd be doing a lot better. So it's hard for me to want to take the Ravens, but it's hard for me to stick with it. But I do want to take them.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward the Ravens here. Their huge weakness is a secondary, and I just don't see St. Louis taking advantage of that at all. If there's one team that couldn't, although Case Keenum maybe attacks deeper than Foles, certainly can't do it less. So maybe I'm wrong there, but Keenum also could commit a few more turnovers as well. So I'm just going to take the home team, Baltimore. But it's another one that don't feel strongly about. There's a lot of spreads with the pick 'em 1-2 points this week. It seems like.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. When Case Keenum had a horrible game last year, I can't remember. I think it was for the Texans in some capacity. It was just great because we could be like case closed or cold case or whatever. There's so many great there's so many great puns to be made with that. So on that basis, I think I'm going to take Baltimore. Just on that basis.
Yeah,
so that I could say something funny on the radio on Monday or something that Jeff and I crack up about and probably nobody else thinks is funny. Here's the thing. Baltimore's pass defense actually played pretty well against Bortles last week. And I don't think Baltimore's pass D was as bad as it seemed. I think that they had this horrible schedule and they were just kind of out of sorts. And their D actually played well. And
yes, coming out of its bye, no, I thought Bortles would have a much bigger game last week.
Yeah, I felt pretty like this was going to happen. Now, I saw some of that game. I mean, they're still a work in progress getting Givens and Aiken and, you know, and what's his name, Gilmore involved. I mean, you know, who knows with the offense? That's kind of the problem. And Forsett sucks. He must have had a great offensive line last year because he sucks. So,
well, it's always something of a risk banking on a career year from a 29-year-old running back. Let's just remember that when it happens next.
I wanted no part of him. There were a lot of people who were on him, but I wasn't one of them. So I'm going to take Baltimore, I think, and lay the wood.
All right. Yeah, me too.
All right. And then we got the Jets at Houston. This one's a little murky because I don't think they know Hoyer status. But right now, I thought it would be the Jets plus +3. But now with Hoyer sort of questionable, it's Jets minus -2.5. So that's weird because it's almost like he won't. It's almost like presuming he's not going to play.
And that matters, by the way. I mean, I know he's been more so like a maybe more of a fantasy guy than a real life. But actually, you know, his QB rating 92.9, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and one of them was on the Hail Mary at the end of half against Cincinnati.
By the way, that throw. Did you see that throw?
It was a laser. Yeah, a cannon. Howitzer.
Dude, he threw that like 70 yards in the air. I couldn't believe what a good throw that was.
Yeah, no, it was.
Who knows? I mean, you know, it's like these no-name pros, they're still like ridiculous. That's what you're reminded, like, that guy's got a sick arm.
Yes, absolutely. If it's 13 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions, I mean, that's
how far do you think you could throw a ball? Like, if we went out to a football field right now, where would you have to stand on the field to get it on a fly to the end zone?
I got a weak arm. I don't know, 40 yards.
Oh, that's pathetic.
Probably.
I mean, I'm pretty sure. I don't want to lie. I don't want to make this up. I'm pretty sure I threw it from the 40, like the own 45, threw it 55 in the air and hit like the. You barely hit the goal line. I'm pretty sure I did that. I don't want to lie, so I don't.
55 is pretty far. I've watched back in the day before the Pro Bowl, they had those things where the quarterback contest.
Yep.
And I don't know, like most of those guys would only throw it around 60. I mean, what would it?
I would like to take a
70?
Three-step running start. You know what I mean? And like really, you know, lean into it. You know what I mean? It was like a high pop. You know, it wasn't like a nice throw. It was just like just maximizing distance.
Right.
Like 55. I think
I'll take the under. I'll take the under on your
right now. I think I would be able to do 50 right now. 55, we'll see. Right. We should do that. We should have some competitions like that. All right. I mean, I would bet you right now that I could do 50.
Yeah. That's probably about right.
Right. I mean, he did 70, and he didn't get to do a running start. He just took one step and launched it.
That was sick.
And it wasn't like 70 feet in the air. It was a nice, like, you know, a nice arcing. It was like, it was a nice throw. All right, so Jets, all that said, Jets minus -2.5 in Houston. I just can't touch this game. I mean, who would ever bet this game not knowing who the QB is going to be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That matters quite a bit. And, you could say the same about the Jets as well. I mean, Fitzpatrick's coming off thumb surgery.
Yeah, but I think they did it after the Thursday night game to get him ready for this.
I know that they want and they plan on him, but I mean, there was other reports saying we're confident in Geno Smith. I mean, that's not a guarantee is what I'm saying. But Houston, you know that they have allowed 0 touchdowns their last 10 quarters.
Well, 4 of them were against the Titans. So I sort of, was the Mettenberger Titans, was it not?
That might be. Yeah. That might be. They. I don't know how much you want to credit them versus you know, giving Andy Dalton a hard time. I don't know who you want to give more credit to on that Monday night game. But go ahead.
Dalton missed some throws and Eifert made some drops. But the defense was pretty good. I mean, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it played pretty well, too. But the Jets are seemingly the better team. They have been most of the year. They have the offensive weapons on the outside. So I'm just, again, taking the team that's slightly better with that, you know, points less than a field goal. Like, probably the sucker side, but I would lean toward the Jets.
I have no idea. I can't handle, I mean, I can't. If Hoyer's playing, I think I'd take the Texans at home getting 2.5. If he's not playing, I mean, I don't know what to say. But I guess if Hoyer's playing, that line goes back to pick 'em or something, right? I mean, I had it when I looked originally. Yeah, actually, right. This is what it said on the thing. I thought it was Jets plus 3, and it was Jets minus 2.5. But I forgot that Hoyer was hurt when I made my line. If Hoyer's playing, I'd definitely take the points. It's not even a question.
Yeah, no. That's fine.
It's a short week, too, for him to get back from that concussion.
Yeah, really weird. Like, no one really knew what happened at the time, and suddenly he's walking back in the locker room, and then he doesn't even come out at all. I mean, that was a weird circumstance.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is just a really useless podcast because we're barely picking any games with any sort of.
We have two more games coming up that's 1 point or less too. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. 1 point or fewer, I should say.
Right. All right. Let's go to Green Bay, and this is again a pick 'em at Minnesota. And it's funny because I thought it was going to be Packers plus 3. I just thought, okay, we don't know what the deal is with Green Bay, but the Vikings, maybe they're winning, they're getting lucky or whatever, but they keep passing every test. And I thought it would just be like, these are roughly equal as far as we can tell. One's on the way down, one's on the way up.
Yeah. And it's, the advanced sites all really discredit Minnesota, kind of consider them a fraud, and they kind of don't really pass the eye test as well. I mean, you'd like to see a team that can pass the football or score some touchdowns, but they haven't been doing either of those very well. But obviously Green Bay, something's wrong. I mean, you could give them a pass with those two losses in Denver and in Carolina, but then at home against the Lions, wow. I mean, something was just fundamentally wrong there. But I'll again be the sucker, take the road team that I think's better. Can you imagine? I mean, you would not have thought this spread. And what would have had to have taken, other than an Aaron Rodgers injury, for this to be a pick'em a month ago?
Yeah, I mean, but this isn't that. I mean, this is the crazy thing, is it not really? Because Green Bay is on the road and it's a pick'em. If we were in Lambeau and we're a pick'em, that would be something shocking. This is still Minnesota plus 6 at Green Bay, right? I mean, yeah. That's a pretty big line. I mean, Minnesota's what, like 7-2, or they're 7-2.
Yeah, 7-4-0 at home.
Yeah, and they're 7-2 overall. So if they're going to Green Bay, the 7-2 Minnesota Vikings, what are they supposed to be? 8-point underdogs? 9-10? I mean, they're supposed to be 6. So this is the same thing as 6 in Green Bay, 0 in Minnesota.
No, it makes sense now. I'm not surprised about
the spread.
No, it doesn't
make sense now. Is this what I'm saying? Is that a month ago, if you were like, yeah, a month from now, Minnesota will be plus 6 in Green Bay, which is what this is, basically. You'd be like, that's not that crazy. Right?
All right. So are you going to take the Vikings?
What? I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, Green Bay is still being priced as a better team than Minnesota. Like, that this team, like, they're 3 points better on a neutral field. Like, they are going straight by the advanced stats. Vegas does not care about results. They don't care about the record. They're looking straight at the advanced stats, and they're saying, you know what? Minnesota is worse than Green Bay. I don't care what's happened the last few weeks. I don't care how bad Green Bay's looked.
Well, and even this goes against my pick, but they're also a more public team. So they're getting, they're getting priced in a little, I bet, too. I would imagine the public's backing Green Bay.
I think the public's on Minnesota because Minnesota has been winning, covering every week, and Green Bay has just been embarrassed.
Yeah, I guess it's 3 in a row. Yeah, one team's won 5 in a row. The other's lost 3 in a row. So
yeah, I'd probably take Green Bay just to be contrarian, but this line is not really punishing Green Bay for their failures. It's just ignoring them pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, barring Aaron Rodgers hurt a lot more than let on, I still believe in them bouncing back.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think he's hurt. I just think do you realize Devonta Adams had 21 targets for 73 yards?
I do realize, yes.
That's not even good for a running back.
It's unheard of, yeah.
From Aaron Rodgers, you know how valuable 21 Aaron Rodgers targets are? Those are worth 9 a pop, typically, right? You should get about 200 yards out of that.
Okay, so here's a question. If you had the receiver that would get 21 targets from Aaron Rodgers, how many
against the Lions?
Would you,
the worst pass defense in the league, one of the worst.
Would you take that player to the field
for like the best receiving day of the year?
Of the week.
No, because there's always somebody who can go off, but it wouldn't be crazy.
I mean 21 targets.
I would take it over anybody else.
Right, of course that.
No,
yes.
But I mean, if you were like, okay, it's going to be Antonio Brown at home against a crappy defense versus some receiver from Aaron Rodgers getting 21 targets at home against the Lions,
I'd
probably take the receiver.
Right, fair point. Yeah, Fields probably too much. But
he'd be the number one ranked receiver, whoever it was. He'd be like, that's the number one ranked receiver.
Right.
But now we know the number one ranked receiver is whoever's playing against the Saints. You know, the number one receiver on the team that's playing the Saints. That's the number one receiver in football. Although they did fire Rob Ryan, so who knows. It was actually really funny because Payne, you know, there's some rumor that Rex is going to hire him. And Kevin Payne is like, please no.
Bills fans. Yes, that would be,
Would you pay $20 for that hire? I'd pay $20 for that to happen.
Oh, just to see it? Sure, yeah, I'm in. Right. I'd contribute 20.
Let's take a collection up.
Yeah.
See if we can get that, make that happen. All right, Tampa at – so I guess we're going Green Bay, but very lukewarm. Tampa, but I'm sick of those algorithm guys. You know, I'm sick of those advanced stats dorks, you know? Like, it's like Vegas really goes by that, though. That's really like they don't mess with the they don't mess with those advanced stats dorks too much. They set the lines very close to them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you need to pass the ball, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you were down on Bridgewater entering the year. I mean, I know it's simplistic view, but man, if you can't, there's some threshold in order to be, you know, a team that's going to like win a playoff game or something. I just don't see it with this Minnesota team.
Yeah. All right. So Tampa is, here we go. Here's a real line. Tampa is plus six, 5.5, 6. Go 5.5. At Philly. Now, I thought this line was going to be, where did I even do this line? Here we go. I thought it was going to be 7.5. Maybe because I'm just so unrealistically bullish on Philly. But it's only 5.5. Who do you like here?
I'm actually going to go with the team you usually pick every week, Philadelphia here. I did my weekly ranks today and ended up going with Philly as like my number five defense. I actually like if it's Sanchez is a decent play. I mean, Tampa Bay's defense has struggled. Winston has really limited the turnovers lately, but he hasn't really produced a lot of touchdowns, and I don't see them running the ball effectively in Philly either. So I'm going to lay the wood.
Yeah, Tampa is so thin. I mean, they have no receivers outside of Mike Evans. Safarian Jenkins, who knows when he's ever going to come back. And Doug Martin is just not that good. He's not one of those guys that's going to like make it happen on his own. And Philly's run D is really solid. And, you know, Tampa's D is going to have to play a really good game to keep this close. I agree. I'm going to lay the points too.
Yeah, and kind of buying low, selling high, that stuff. I know it's just one game or whatever, but.
Right. Sell Tampa off a win, buy Philly off a win. Philly's just so stupid the way they lost that game. I mean, it was just embarrassing.
Yes.
They missed a chip shot. They got a punt blocked. It was just like, come on. Sanchez throws that horrible pick. Yeah, Sanchez, I'm going to pick him up in some leagues where I have Eli on bye. All right, we got Denver.
Yeah, that's concluding League of Leagues. You only have Eli, by the way, and he's my number one quarterback available. That's what I went after.
Yeah, I kind of like who was it that I liked? There's one other guy. Mariota this week too.
Yeah, he wasn't available. Okay. I don't think.
All right, Denver is now. This is the minus one pick. I guess it's Denver's now plus one in Chicago. And I think this is a stranger line than Green Bay from a month ago.
Well, I absolutely agree there. Yeah, you're talking about a team with a losing record is favored against a team that's 7-2. I mean, that's pretty unheard of, I would imagine.
As of a month ago, you know, Denver's D was all world. I knew Denver's D was exaggerated. They're good, but they're not that good.
Yeah, last week they played without Tlaib and DeMarcus Ware, but no, they definitely have taken a step back.
It's because Green Bay was a fraud. Like they beat up on Green Bay and was like, holy crap, Denver's D. Like that's the sickest thing ever. And then you realize Green Bay, the Lions D did the same thing.
Right. Although the Green Bay was able to move the ball late in the fourth quarter against Carolina, but all those you always take with a grain of salt too, because Carolina was probably playing halfway prevent and, you know, looked like they had that one. And that's kind of when Green Bay put up a lot of their stats last week, sadly, against Detroit is on those final drives. So they've actually really looked bad when you put it in context
Go ahead. You know, Pianowski and Safin, they're always saying how prevent usually works. You only know at the times it doesn't. But like, I just don't agree with that. If you're destroying a team all game, why would you switch up your defense when you're up three touchdowns? I mean, I understand that, like, they could throw a deep ball against you, I guess, like, the way that you've been playing it rather than putting people way back. But, like, you're up, like, two touchdowns or three touchdowns. They haven't moved the ball at all. Why would you shift to an easier defense for them to move the ball?
Yeah, and the other argument is it takes a little bit, you know, more time if you're making sure everything's in front of you. But I totally agree with you. I agree.
I just don't understand. And they say, well, you know, those times where they make the three touchdown comeback, it's actually much more rare than you think. And usually the team fails. And maybe that's true. But I just play until they solve it. You know, and if they solve it, then you can go to prevent.
And on the flip side, is it also, why doesn't an offense come out in a hurry up and act like they need, you know, they need to scrap? I mean, it's also, it's two-sided there. And I just feel like offenses should run, you know, with a little bit more urgency, even when it, you know, they're not inside 2 minutes.
Just play like you're playing the Patriots and there's 2 minutes left. You know, I mean, just play like you got to score. Play like you mean it. It's like those box, I've been talking about it, it's like a boxing match where they're, you know, dancing around for six rounds. Just fucking come out and kill. Be like Tyson. Come out to kill the guy. You know, just that's it. Knock him out. Anyway, sometimes they do. You know, I understand the running games like body blows, and then you eventually knock him out in the third quarter or something. But most, you know, these, nobody establishes the running game. How many games this year, and this is interesting, have you seen a team just run the ball with success consistently? I can't even, like, remember any. You'll see someone break a big run every now and then, but, like, there's none of that Terrell Davis, Emmitt Smith situation where every play is just 8 yards, 7 yards, 5 yards. I can't remember. I can't remember seeing that.
No, you're right. I mean, Carolina's, I think, the closest thing kind of that we have to that these days, but a lot of that's Cam Newton, too. So, no, I mean, even the better teams, Cincinnati can't run the ball, Jeremy Hill. I mean, Chris Johnson's been okay for Arizona, but, like, New England, you know, they're not really – pounding it. So obviously Green Bay hasn't been able to run the ball at all. Denver hasn't been able to run the ball at all. So even the teams with the best records, it's an afterthought.
Yeah, the Giants, I mean, they're 5-5. They're in first place. They can't run the ball. If you look at it, like, I remember that game with Jonas Gray where they ran for 200 yards and four touchdowns. New England did that. It was like one play after another of just getting like 7 yards every play. But that just doesn't really happen anymore. So it's like, why even bother? There are no body blows. You know, it just the only team that really does it is Philly, and it's not because they're hitting them. It's because they're just moving so fast they wear them out. Anyway.
Yeah. So I like Chicago here, and I would have liked it even more, sadly, if man, there's just such an unknown with Osweiler. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I watched a bunch of college tape or something, know how he's going to be. It probably will play better than last week, given that he has a whole week of the first team reps, although Manning didn't practice a ton last week either. But Chicago's played so much better recently. I mean, it's funny that the Niners, basically this was their coaching staff, was they had like the third and final interview with Adam Gase for offensive coordinator, and they did something to piss him off at the final one, and he took Vic Fangio with him. I mean, that was the Niners defensive coordinator last few years. So Chicago has both the guys that the Niners gave up, and they have a joke of a coaching staff now. And the Bears with Cutler playing some of the best of his career and Langford looking awesome. And I guess Jeffrey's not totally healthy, which is a bit of a problem. But it's funny that we made fun of the spread, but I think it's rightfully so. And I'm taking Chicago.
Yeah, I'll take them too. I think people are going to jump on Denver on this. And, you know, yeah, I wish Peyton were playing. That would be easy. That's easy money. But we were joking that Hoyer throw was a par two for Peyton. He's had to throw,
I saw it, you say that.
Throw
yeah.
it to the 30 and pick it up and throw it again. I'm taking Chicago too. What's so odd is like they don't have Forte. Cutler should go to the Pro Bowl. I mean, I'm trying to think of who's better than Cutler in the NFC this year. I mean, I guess Rodgers, but he's been terrible lately. But yeah, Rodgers, Cutler.
Well, Palmer.
Palmer's, yeah, he's like borderline MVP. So
yeah, absolutely is. Yeah.
But those would be my three, you know, and I wouldn't put Breeze in there, and I wouldn't put Wilson in there. Those would be my three. Oh, Cam. We've got to, Cam's got to go in there. I think, well, it's Cutler or Rodgers for the last cut.
Either. Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway.
Not okay. Matt Ryan, I'll tell you that much.
No, Matt Ryan sucks. And Eli's been okay, but he doesn't belong in the Pro Bowl. He's been good, actually.
What about Kaepernick? Is he in the conversation?
Yeah, he's in the conversation.
You're going to leave him out, though.
Yeah, he's in the conversation. He's in the conversation for who smokes the biggest bong hit before playing an NFL football game. All right. Cincinnati plus four.
Hold on. You want to check mark that one too?
Let's question mark it. I mean, The only ones we even remotely kind of like are Baltimore and Chicago, right? Oh, and Philly. Baltimore, Philly, and Chicago.
Yeah.
And possibly Green Bay.
Yeah.
All right, Cincinnati plus 4 at Arizona.
Yeah, well, just to, so it's clear to the listeners, we're jumping around on the time a little because the Vegas Insider site still lists this ahead of the other games, but this was flexed into the Sunday night game.
Okay, let's skip it then. Let's move it. Let's move it back.
Okay, because it used to be it was going to be, I believe, no Kansas City San Diego is what it was going to be.
It was going to be what?
Kansas City San Diego.
Yeah, which is a terrible game that nobody wants to watch. But you know what? Nobody can follow this what we're doing anyway. But let's just we'll just skip it. We'll come back to it. Okay, San Francisco at Seattle. I don't know why you're so – it's like you got traumatized by Seattle the last few years. You thought they were – can't believe you picked them last week as your best bet. That was terrible. But San Francisco plus 12.5. I thought it would be 13, and I bet it may get there yet.
Well, you can totally talk me out of this. That's fine. But I like them a lot again.
Seattle?
Yeah.
You think this is just like – I mean, they're D. I was playing DFS. I know you guys can't play the other sites, but – they're like the most expensive or the second most or the most expensive D on FanDuel. And I was like, this is so chalky, like 70% of people have them. And really like you should just fade because if they just score like 9 points, which could easily happen, even if they shut them out, you know, or even if they get like, you know, they win 27-3, they may not get a defensive touchdown. I was like, I almost just can't not use them at home against Gabbard. I was like, I felt like I was forced to use them, even though I know game theory wise, it's not a good play. Anyway, I guess, you know, everybody's going to be on Seattle. Well, maybe not. They lost at home to Arizona. San Francisco, their last game, they won. Yeah, I guess I'll take Seattle. I think I'm with you.
Yeah, after giving up 39 points on in a primetime game that everyone saw.
But maybe it's because they suck, you know? Like, they're just not that good. I mean, I know Palmer's great.
Well, they're definitely – Seattle is clearly – I mean, I overrated them. I was surprised that they gave up that many points. I mean, it's not shocking that they – you know, loss, but how it happened was, I mean, they're clearly not nearly the team they had been the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. You know, they're whatever. They're giving up 6.9 YPA this year, just 9 touchdowns through the air, second fewest in the NFL. So it's not like they've totally fallen off or something. I mean, in Seattle, Blaine Gabbert. I mean, this is, you're right. This is a team that's owned San Francisco in the past, and maybe I'm overrating that, and maybe that's not an indication of the future events. But I mean, they, you know, they just, about a month ago, traveled to San Francisco. I was at this game on Thursday night and on the road won 20-3. And if anything, it wasn't even that close. Like they really seem to own this 49ers offense. And now we're talking Blaine Gabbert, no Carlos Hyde, a banged up Anquan Boldin. I mean, this seems just like the tailor-made game for a team like Seattle to get right at home. And I already said this, but the over-under on Niner touchdowns to me this week is 0.5.
Of course. I mean,
how and I would take the under.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be more than 0.5, right? Because they're not getting 2 on offense. They're not. Maybe they could get a defensive touchdown, maybe. I guess I'll take Seattle. It's just so – it's just like taking Green Bay last week, though. Everybody's going to be on Seattle. I just think this line would have to go up to like 16 before people start changing their minds.
Yeah, I agree.
Like what? At what point would you take San Francisco? Around 16?
Yeah. You would definitely have to be past the 14 mark. So, right. Yeah, 16-ish.
Okay. It's funny that it's held its ground at 12.5. All right, now we get KC at San Diego. It's plus 3, KC plus 3 at San Diego. Sorry, KC minus 3 at San Diego.
Yes.
That's what happened. I read that wrong. I had I thought the Chiefs would be plus 1.5, but they're minus 3. I mean, I hate the Chargers. I mean, they're just terrible. They're a horrible defense, and you know Rivers throws for a lot of yards, but he's just makes mistakes, and they don't do well in the red zone. But I think I got to take the home dog.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking. I mean, I can see why the spread is this because the Chargers have lost 5 in a row, and the Chiefs have won 3 in a row,
and they just beat Denver in Denver, like kicked the crap out of them.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly. But having said that, yeah, my original instinct looking at this spread is just like, this was actually one of the easiest for me to pick for whatever that's worth. It's just like, no, I mean, they're on the road.
But
I
remember, San Diego's home field is like negligible.
Well, that's definitely true. But it's not that like Kansas City is at home either, though. So, I mean, yeah, maybe you're right. I wonder how quantifiable that is. I mean,
this is like almost a neutral field is what I'm saying.
Sure.
There are fans. Are the worst.
No, I know. They had to go to a silent snap count at home two weeks back.
I thought San Diego over the Raiders like a month ago was a great bet at 4. I'm like, I would take them at 7. And they got smoked.
Yeah, sadly, I was in agreement with you. But I like this Rivers-led team when they're underdogs. I've said it all year. Like, you know, when people do count them out. And they so, yeah, I'm not expecting Kansas City to win by more than a field goal on the road here, even though that they've clearly played better of late. But San Diego, well, they're coming off a bye too, right? So just give me the Chargers.
All right. I guess I'll take the Chargers. I've almost talked myself out of it. Right. All right. So now we'll go to the Sunday night game. This is the game of the week. This is the best game of the week. It's Cincinnati, who was undefeated, getting four. I thought it would be three, and I think it was three for a while, but I guess not on this side.
It was three. I looked at this morning, I think. Even it was definitely three.
I mean, this is another primetime game. People don't like Andy Dalton in primetime, and they're going to use the Monday night game as evidence of this. I don't know if that means anything. You know, it's just small sample, tough teams. He hasn't done well. Not that the Texans were a tough team until last night, but I wouldn't read too much into that. Cincinnati is a pretty balanced team, but Arizona is just good. Their secondary is good now. Palmer is arguably the best quarterback in football right now, the way he's playing. And, you know, it's kind of – I think Michael Floyd's status and John Brown's status is kind of important. If those two guys are healthy, that is a really good receiving core.
And Arizona is one of the better teams as far as home field. They actually – it has mattered to them recently. Yeah, all logic points to Arizona being the clearly better team. I mean, they look fantastic. Palmer's numbers are just – ridiculously good. But we all just saw Cincinnati lay an egg at home on primetime and Arizona go into Seattle on primetime and look really good. And Cincinnati has to travel on a short week and all that stuff. But that's why I'm just going to go contrarian and take the Bengals. I'm taking the Bengals, and there's, like I said, very little logic to it. Arizona looks like the clearly superior team.
Well, I mean, it's funny you say that because if you hadn't watched last night's game and didn't know about it, I don't know if you'd be saying that. Cincinnati was undefeated. And they've had a couple tests, right? They had Pittsburgh. Wasn't Roethlisberger playing that game? The Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game? He was. Oh, but it was a really crappy, horrible, sort of just random game, right? It was like back and forth, and Cincinnati won, but it was really anybody's game.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying as far as that. They do have a pretty impressive resume. This isn't like one of those fraudulent teams where the underlying stats suggest they were getting super lucky or anything, so... You do bring up a fair point there. Maybe it's just the whole Andy Dalton in primetime type stigma, and I had to sit through that stench as someone who backed him right, in Survivor, right. And I'm just being overly harsh. But hey, again, though, I'm the one taking them, so right. It's more than 3 points. So I'm going to try to remember the first eight games they played this year and not the last one.
I still got to think about it. You know, tomorrow I write the Beating the Book column, and you know the hard part about the column is picking the side. It's not writing the write-up. The write-up's easy. It takes 2 seconds. It's picking the side. And I liked it, even though it hasn't done anything. I haven't done terribly this year. With, like, we'd finish this podcast, and I'd be set in what I wanted to pick for the most part. So the column's been really easy. But tomorrow it's going to be brutal because I feel like six of these I'm still haven't decided. And I haven't decided about this one.
I think my favorite part of the comments in your column, well, there's a lot of good stuff there, but there's usually one about every, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks that asks for you to pick the over under in a column in which you pick the final score.
Yes. I know they can't do the math, but you know, I tell them not to use that as the score. Cause I just make up a number that sounds like it's going to be that score. And once every 6 weeks, I actually get a score, right. You know, but like you shouldn't take it. I'm not like being very scientific about it.
You're not considering it as strong as the point spread or even close to it, but still, I mean, if that's how you see the game going and you're picking
right.
One team winning by a certain margin, you know what I mean? So, right. I mean, it's somewhat of a reference.
Right. It would be full. And I couldn't like pick other than what I had said in the score. So I mean, obviously I'm going to say that.
Right.
I love people, you know, like Jeff Valiumeter or Jeff ranks all the, you know, everybody for that week, the QBs, running backs, receivers. And it's the same thing. When I do,
would you start? He'll ask the same position between two people.
Yeah, he'll say, "What do you really think about these two guys?"
Well,
no, you mean not the bullshit lie that I just posted for everybody to use? What I really secretly think that I'm going to use? Like, what do you mean? What do I really think? What I really think is the list that I have on the site. What else would I really think?
Right, and if people ask me on Twitter, you know, player A or player B, and I'll say I'm leaning toward player A, and they'll come back and be like, well, what about this reason or this for player B? And I'm like, if you've already made the decision, man, don't let me talk you out of it. It's by all means, go with what you thought.
They're like asking your advice than arguing with you. It's like,
exactly.
Dude, I don't care what you do. Like, don't argue with me. Do whatever you want.
Yes.
All right. So last one, Monday night. And I don't like this game either, man. I hate this slate. I bet you I go like 10-4 on the slate.
I was going to say, with the way things have been going for both of us, because I agree, I hate it too. Maybe it'll result in a winning week.
Yeah, it's like now we're like reduced to superstition like that. Just total nonsense. Okay, Buffalo plus, I guess it's 7 at New England. I'm a little insulted by this line because New England was 7-point favorites in New York. And now Buffalo's right. only a 7-point right. underdog at New England? Screw right. that. We beat Buffalo in Buffalo.
Why is this spread this?
I don't know.
I mean, Buffalo,
I guess Edelman's
out.
You know.
Yeah, Deion Lewis and Edelman out. By the way, everyone run to pick up Amendola on your fantasy team. He's going to be really good.
I checked my waiver wires. He's owned in every league I'm in already.
Yeah, well, he's out there in some League of Leagues. We actually had him in a bye week pinch, and he just was picked up. That's frustrating. But that's not PPR, he'd really be a monster. But I'm laying the points. Again, probably sucker side. Buffalo's a solid football team, and Tyrod Taylor, and they're when they have McCoy and Williams healthy, I mean, it's a pretty – and Watkins. I mean, that's a semblance of a pretty decent offense, actually. But I'm in prime time at home, and it's, you know, not more than a touchdown. I mean, especially coming off essentially – I mean, yeah, that's a win, but that's almost like a loss to New England. I mean, that's a wake-up call for them last week. So I expect their A effort. So give me the Pats.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Pats, too. I'm a little concerned about the offensive line, though, because, you know, Edelman and Deion Lewis kind of help with the offensive line because they catch so many short, quick throws by Brady, and the timing is so good between those guys. So, you know, Brady's getting rid of the ball within 2 seconds, which helps, you know, mask the offensive line deficiencies. And those guys, he knows exactly where they're going to be, and it's, like, perfect. And so they're really valuable in this situation. If they had a good offensive line that was healthy, I don't think the loss of those quick hitting guys would matter as much. So yeah, Amendola is going to be that guy, but I don't think he quite has the chemistry with Amendola he did with Edelman.
No, Edelman's good. Edelman's good.
He's like really good. He's better really. Than Amendola, and he has more chemistry. And they had both of those guys, right? They had Amendola and Edelman. So if Edelman was covered, they had another guy, and then Lewis was a third guy. So it takes a little time to, you know, get that timing
for
so
sure.
perfect.
I agree.
And they need to have timing because he's not going to have time. And Buffalo's D-line hasn't played that well this year, but, you know, theoretically it's good. So it's a bad matchup, but I don't know, man. I do like to sell the Bills high off that win over the Jets. The Jets turned it over 4 times. Rex, like, all psyched up because they won in New York. Like, you got lucky.
Yeah, Rex did show a little bit of emotion. I see him come out of his shell. Yeah, how about your Giants?
I thought this line
way?
Was going to be 10. I had
yeah, no, this 10. Seems a little – seems so what are you saying? This would be almost a pick'em in Buffalo?
Yeah, it would be New England -1. I mean, that's what it would be.
It just seems bizarre to me.
Right. I mean, New England's definitely the favorite. Now, this is the team that can hurt them because, as you said, Buffalo's offense is pretty good. You know, Tyrod Taylor can make plays with his legs. McCoy looks great. McCoy's like a top 5 back now. Watkins looks good. I mean, he had a bad game with Revis covering him, but I don't, you know, he's healthy now at least. And I think they're going to move the ball, you know, and so New England may have trouble with this defense, but it's a home game. New England at home is just money in the bank.
Yeah, no, you don't need to convince me. Your Giants continue to just really impress against New England. It's unbelievable how well they play against them. I mean, obviously you don't want to hear about it because they ended up losing, but that was insane, that drop interception and the time management and stuff. You could
fourth
probably
and ten.
Go on.
It was 4th and 10. They had and the interception. And, of course, it was a touchdown to Beckham. So it was just so many things.
Had longest pass play against a Bill Belichick coached team ever.
Yeah,
that first play to Beckham. Yeah.
That's what I said. Why don't the Giants just play every game like they're playing the Patriots? They'd be a lot better.
It's true.
And then, well, they do. They give it. Well, they do the giveaway part. They've gotten down. They do that for sure.
Right.
Anyway, I don't want to get into it. I mean, I don't know if you saw Mike Carey in my blog. I posted a link to the clip. And first he says, yeah, it's not a catch. It's not a touchdown. You know, he didn't have the second foot down before losing possession. Look at the replay. He did have the second foot down. Then he goes, he kind of sees it and doesn't admit that he was wrong. He just kind of changes his tack. And, you know, he hasn't really become a runner here. And then he loses the ball. Where are you going to run to, dude? It's the end zone. Why would he become a runner? There's nowhere to run. He's standing still with both feet down, clear possession. Also, he didn't drop it. If it had just dropped out of his hands, then you could say, okay, he didn't, you know, fully have possession. He was bobbling it. It got knocked out, meaning he had secure, tight possession of the ball with both feet down in the end zone. The play is over, right? It doesn't matter what happens after it's once it's a touchdown, it's a touchdown. This isn't going to the ground or that bullshit. This isn't establish yourself as a runner because obviously there's nowhere to run. It's a touchdown. The play is over. It's a terrible call.
I would make a joke saying that's odd because Mike Carey's usually so very good at his job, but I'm kidding. He's not very good at all. But he, in his defense, why can't we just change the rule and make a catch a catch? I mean, it's
because this is why because of instant replay. Okay, it used to be a catch is a catch. If a ref sees it, obviously there were criteria like you had to have both feet down in bounds, right? But besides that, it was like, okay, in terms of the catch, did you have both feet down and seem to have possession? It's good. But with the advent of replay, you see, now you need to have a basis for overturning calls. So you can't just say, I know it when I see it. There has to be specific criteria for what constitutes a catch, right? Replay is the problem. You can't have replay and not have criteria. All this lawyering of what a catch is just because of replay. If there's no replay, obviously the ref just calls it, like PI. It's horrible, but they just say, yeah, it's PI. There's no, you know, there's like, oh, did he have his head turned? But there's not like the specific, it's like the ref knows it when he sees it. And with the catch, it should be that way. But because it's reviewable, there has to be a standard on which to review it. And that has destroyed the catch. It's replay that has caused this problem.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You know, definitely is a, you brought up in your column, it some advantages, but there's definitely some negatives.
I think they should do away with it. I do think Andrew Laird had this idea. You put a chip in the ball. I mean, it's not the first person probably to have it. So like things like where the ball spotted, you know, like did he cross the plane of the goal line? There's a chip in the ball. Like it's just the thing dings or it doesn't when it gets to the goal line, you know, that's easy. That stuff.
Yeah. Right. Got it.
All right. So let's go over these. We could rewrite the rules on a different podcast, but let's go over our five picks. I think we're going to go what? Bears.
Yeah. I'm on board.
And then we're going to go with the Cowboys.
If you want to go there, you mentioned, I'm okay with the Cowboys, but you mentioned also the Ravens, Eagles, and Packers were the ones you kind of mentioned.
Yeah. What do we have? Six or five?
Well, I mean, there's also, I mean, is Patriots too obvious? I mean, think too many people be on them?
I mean, who cares? You know, I mean, we just got to get it right. We can't be paying attention to that.
And what about my Seahawks? My against the 49ers again. What about them? I don't think
I would make that a best bet. I'm
going to bat for it.
Okay, just like last week. Okay.
Yeah, Seahawks are we're going Seahawks, we're going Bears, and then
what
go ahead.
Sucks is like if we were like 10 games over 500 or 12 games over 500 right now, there'd be like a lot at stake if you were going to bat for a team. It would be like a big thing to do that.
Right.
It's like no big deal to go to bat. It's like, I'm going to bat for it. Who cares? Who cares if you're wrong?
I'm going to bat for it.
All right, it's fine. So we're going Seahawks. We're going what, Ravens?
Sure. I mean, Seahawks.
I don't really like the Ravens that much. I like them a little bit.
What about Eagles?
I like the Eagles kind of. Okay. I would go, I don't like the Seahawks, but I mean, I like them a little. But I'll go Eagles, Cowboys.
Bears. And then we just need one more. So
you're going Seahawks.
Right. So there's Ravens, Packers
or Patriots, Ravens.
Patriots.
I think the Patriots are my favorite out of those. I'll go Patriots as the fifth.
Okay. So as of now, barring a change, Cowboys, Eagles, Bears, Seahawks, and Pats.
Done.
All right.
All right. Let's do we got to, you know, whatever. I'm not even going to like give you a pep talk on this shit. This is a joke.
That has 5-0 written all over it.
5-0, you think? I think it's got 2-3. I think we're going to go 2-3 this week.
Well, it'll be an improvement from last week.
All right. I'm now like more invested in being right about the prediction than I am about actually getting the games right.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. Sad year by us. But come on, there's still
it's
time.
It's not over. Yeah, we got 7 weeks, dude. 35-0. Here we go. All right, Dalton. Thanks for doing it, and we will see what happens next week.
All right. Thanks, Liz.
All right. It's Chris Liz. We're talking to Dalton Del Don of Yahoo Sports. This is the East Coast Offense Podcast. If you like what you hear, you can always subscribe at rotowire.com/pod. Thanks for listening.